Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We are here to recap the Players Championship and preview the 2022 Valspar. Of course, we're recording on Tuesday for once, not because of one of our schedules, but because of the PGA's schedule. So that's it's so fitting. I was texting Jesse even on Friday going, yep, this is funny. I finally have everything lined out for Monday and we're screwed, but we'll get into that in a minute. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and Jesse, as always, my co-host on this wonderful endeavor on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. How we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, 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 good. I was actually looking forward to a Monday recording. I really was. I was like, let's do this. But and then I got all bummed out. I was going to get my model ready on Monday night. I'm sitting there going, okay, the tournament's been over for like 6 hours. Nothing. And then woke up at 5 and there they were. The prices were there. So we got Valspar, but any thoughts on the wacky Players Championship? Kudos to Cam Smith, who's a freaking awesome dude. But it was good and bad. I'll try to take the positive road on the Players.
Yeah, I think Mother Nature won. Yeah. I think that's what the main takeaway is, right? It was rough. They basically lost a full day because obviously the golf tournament didn't end until about 6 o'clock yesterday, which it would have on Sunday. So roughly lost a full day of actual golf. And did you watch Saturday?
I watched a lot of the highlights. One thing I'm fortunate is I laugh at Twitter a lot for being just a cesspool, but there's a hand. I have some pretty good followers because like I made a couple of tweets because I get to watch a lot of Saturday. And people were just flooding me with videos. And there was one full video, like a 5.5 minute like montage of every water ball. And I couldn't get enough of that. Some of them were just like close misses. Some were just full on just, it was amazing. That's all I can say.
The crazy thing about it is like the first group that like they had to restart, I think they had to finish up on 16 and then restart. Basically their first hole was going to be 17. That was morning,
Brooks, Scotty, and Xander, right?
Yeah, and all three of them hit it in the water.
Yeah,
and you know, two of them weren't even close, and they were hitting like 7-8 irons when it's normally a 9 iron or a wedge. I think somebody even hit a 6 iron that day.
It's freaking crazy on a little target. It's not like you can miss much. Like it's such a small. Like,
the thing is like I've never played it, but when you look at the view from back on the tee box, it does look like a small target, but it's a huge green.
Yeah,
but that's what Pete Dye does, is he completely mind fucks you. Yeah, yep. And with that back hole location, I mean, just getting it anywhere on the putting surface was difficult just because of the gusts and. I mean, I just don't think there's anything else that they could do, though, because you can't delay another day and then have it finish today and then have some of these guys going to play the Valspar the day after tomorrow. But also, too, it's supposed to – I guess the weather is shitty again today down there. I haven't looked because it doesn't matter to me. But, I mean, it's just – you know, it is what it is. And that's part of golf. I mean, like, in general, like, there is sometimes a draw bias. It happens. There was a tournament in Texas. It was like two shots, like back in 2017, I want to say. I don't know if you remember or not.
Yeah.
Just from AM to PM. So, you know, it is what it is, and it sucks. But
it was funny because going into the week, it was AM, PM was supposed to be the draw bias.
Yeah.
And it flipped on its head. It was PM, AM in a heartbeat.
I never really got that. Like, I just never saw how that was possible.
I think the idea was if it didn't rain enough and guys played enough on Friday that they had to finish Saturday, then the AM people would start their round Saturday and get the best weather. That was their idea. But it never happened because they basically took a whole day off of golf. So it just threw the whole thing to the side.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't play it like either way. Like, to me, like, it was just play the Players and see what happens, because it's like the fucking meteorologists can't predict the weather. How are we? You know, it's funny. I was thinking this the other day, like, we're so like, because we think we can predict golf, like, let's start predicting the weather too. It's like, no.
Yeah. Let's focus on one thing and try to master that first.
We can't even get the fucking golf right.
Yeah. Because like for people that play it, like you and I, and a lot of the listeners probably, it's like, golf is one of the most, like, literally swing the swing sports on the face of the planet. Yeah. And you throw in some weather to it, and it just completely, like,
it's so unpredictable, like, to begin with. Yeah. Then, like, you throw, like, some 40 mile an hour winds.
Like, I play in an area that it's starting about this time of the year and all the way through, like, September, early October. Every afternoon between 1 and 2 o'clock, we call it the air conditioner. The north wind comes in, and it goes anywhere from 15 to 30 miles an hour every single day. And I usually get to play in the afternoons, and every day is a different round of golf. It's like, okay, today we just pray for bogeys. Then it's like, yeah, it's what you got. But watching those guys struggle through it, like, I get joy out of it, but also it's painful because I like watching good golf that's challenging, not challenging golf that's like bad golf that's challenging, if that makes sense.
I thought it was fun to watch myself.
Well, Carnage is good. It's like, why can't that happen at Pebble for the U.S. Open? Like,
yeah,
give us that weather there. But
yeah. Or it's supposed to happen. I'm with you. Yeah.
But the, like, if that 5-minute clip, if anybody wants to see it, I can send it to you. But there was one, I think it was the second time Brooks played 17 because he was pretty much done for the day. He's like, he sucks so bad. Well, he didn't suck. He kind of, the Mother Nature got him good. And he went to the water again, and he just starts laughing when the ball's halfway in the air. Just starts laughing.
Yeah, I saw,
like,
that.
I'm like, we've all been there, Brooks. We've all been there. Like, I get it. The other one that was really funny, and just, I think it really sums up how difficult it is in the wind, especially when it's inconsistent, like swirling or off and on. JT Poston's on the tee box. His caddy Fleener has a great Twitter follow. And he basically did the play-by-play with a picture of them standing on the 17th tee and said, JT says, okay, if the wind blows and I hit this club, what happens? He says, you don't hit the green. And he says, what if the wind stops? He's all, you go over the green. So he basically just hit it and pray. That's what you're doing right now. That sums it up perfectly. Like, this is where we're at.
But the even really the more difficult hole was 18.
Yeah. You see? Well, real quick, let's go to 18. What do you think about the Berger Hovland Damon little thing?
Well, that was on 16.
There? Oh, I thought that was 18.
Okay. No, that was on 16. I watched the shot live and then saw the controversy unfold on Twitter as people, you know, tweeted about it and then tweeted out videos and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I felt like, of course, I needed Berger, so I'm a little bit biased, but I feel like Berger was more on the right. I mean, he definitely didn't just push it straight out into the water.
That's the biggest thing. Yes.
I mean, like, they're wanting to go back.
There was a path. There was a arch to it.
Yeah. I mean, it cut over and it cut right across the green. And if he aims it, you know, 15 yards further left, it's on dry land.
Yeah.
But of course he didn't do that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. I like all three in that group is the weird part.
That's what was tough about it. And it was Dahman once again, who was in the rules controversy with
Kang
before. And I'm sitting there, but he was kind of the quietest one in the group. You could see him just kind of looking there smirking at times, but it's tough to, like, in a competitive nature, even when you're playing with your best friends, like, the competitive gene comes out. And so then, of course, Berger's got to be thinking they're trying to F me over. And it's like this whole, it's not even just like, hey, legit, we didn't see it. Like, this is what happens if you don't see it type thing. But Berger's sitting there going, was he 7 or 8 under? And he's like, well, this just basically screwed me over. So, here
we go. Well, I mean, you know, if he hits a little bit closer, maybe makes a par, but, you know, whatever. So, but the big thing, dude, my big takeaway from the whole thing is fucking Cam Smith, stone cold killer.
Yep.
I think he's turned into my favorite golfer.
I love him. We've loved him for a while, and it was just kind of because he was a fun story, but now he's also, like, backing it up. Like, he's walking the walk and talking the talk. Like, it's pretty awesome. And this is how cool this dude is, because this is why we kind of liked him before. You know, mullet, fun guy, play some good golf, all this kind of stuff. But did you hear what he did on Sunday night, because there's an extra day of golf?
No.
I guess he rented a pretty good-sized house there for the weekend. He invited over any caddy that wanted to show up, all the pizza there they could drink.
He lives close.
Okay, man, that's what it was. Invited over. Yeah, because that's right. I've seen his house on like PGA.
It's probably his house, yeah.
Yeah. He invited over all the caddies. I guess like 30 caddies showed up. All the pizza and beer you could eat and drink, and they just bullshitted for the entire night.
No shit.
The night before the final day of the tournament.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he's
just a good dude. Just like, hey, I get it. You guys don't get paid a lot. You're stuck here another day. You probably had to, like, extend your hotel or something. Like, come by my place. I got you.
Did you see his interview afterwards?
No, I did not, unfortunately.
So, like, he's been away from his mom and I think his sister as well for like the last 2 years because they've been in Australia. Unable to travel for obvious reasons. And you know, he started to get a little choked up, man, about the fact that, like, you know, his family was there finally. And, like, I don't know, I thought that was pretty cool.
It's crazy. Like, it happened to a baseball player. I talked about it a lot on my other shows. Is they're in Korea, and you hadn't been able to see him for like a year and a half, and it was similar situations. So it's cool to see Cam do his thing. It definitely is. Like, part of me was like, okay, Cam already won this year. He's set. Like, Lahiri would have been a fun story to kind of break through there at the Players of all places. He still got over 2 mil for finishing second. Like, that's pretty darn good. He's okay. But I love that Cam won it. You know, it was such a weird leaderboard, and you expected that with the weather, with like Keegan up there. But then Casey like screws the pooch on his first hole of the tournament. People even in the Discord are like, "Oh, Casey was the wrong play," blah blah. And then he just kind of almost wins the damn thing. It was just it was a fun tournament, but it was just kind of a shame that it kind of got like, you know, like the Morikawas, the Xanders, all these guys that maybe they don't make the cut, but they don't get blown off the cut type thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Casey thing is funny because, you know, obviously going into the weekend, just a side story for myself, that's similar to like people tilting about Casey tripling his first hole and almost winning anyways. But, going into the weekend, or once the fucking cut was made, whenever that was, I can't even remember, Sunday, some point, I had four of six. I'm like, you know, I'm pretty much drawing dead here, right? Like, 4 of 6, like, there was about 20% that had five of six or six of six. So, like, it's not good. So, like, I'm a hammer weekend golf, give myself something to at least watch and sweat. And then, of course, it had Billy Ho on it, who withdrew yesterday morning.
On that. He killed me.
Because of illness. So, yeah. I'm down to 3 of 6, and I'm like, this lineup has no chance. But fucking Cam Smith makes, like, 75 eagle or birdies, then his last round, I want to say Sunday, but it was obviously Monday, in the final round. And dude, that my 222 single entry team min cashed. I lost $8 on it because it was in a tie. Yeah. But 3 of 6 after it was all said and done. And like, I'm like, dude, it was a wild weekend. It was just crazy from start to finish.
Yeah. I try not to vent too much on the DFS because it sucks, but I feel you there because I had 4 5 of 6s. Three of them had Cam Smith. One of those three had Billy Ho. And then, so the other two that still had 5 or 6 going on Sunday, one had Bo Hostler, who shot 8 over to miss the cut. Like, he was literally, like, he was 1 under going into a second round.
Yeah.
The other one had Cam Young, who was 1 under going into a second round.
He's not a win like, player either, apparently.
Just two guys that I was just like, oh, you got to be shitting me right now. Yeah. And it's like I had Kisner on those lineups and stuff. They were so low owned. It was glorious. But they still did okay. But it was just like, oh, man, that's where the weather just really stood out. Like, it wasn't just like a shitty golfer. It was the weather got him good. All right. Like, as you can tell, we could probably talk about this for a while because it was fun. It was carnage at its finest. But we got the Valspar, which should be carnage because the field is dwindling. It was one of the best Valspar fields on paper about 72 hours ago, and I believe we're on our 13th alternate now already. I'm not even exaggerating. I'm pretty sure it's the 13th alternate. I saw someone tweet out, and it's only Tuesday afternoon, so there's a good chance some more are going to be out. So keep that in mind with whatever we talk about today. A lot's going to change probably, but we'll give you the best info we can, and that starts with Jesse and his past event history.
Yeah, so obviously last year, Sam Burns was the winner, 17 under, 3 shots over Keegan. This has been played at the what's it called? The snake?
Copperhead.
Copperhead.
Call it Copperhead, yeah.
Yeah, it's got this the snake pit. Is that the 16, 17, 18 or something?
Yep, something like that.
Paul Casey was the back-to-back winner. There was no tournament in 2020, but 2019, Paul Casey won 8 under, 1 shot over Kokrak and Oosthuizen. 2018, Paul Casey, 10 under, 1 shot over Reed and Tiger Woods. Adam Hadwin was the 2017 champion, 14 under, 1 shot over Cantlay. Charles Schwartzel, Jordan Spieth, John Sinden, Kevin Streelman. Gary Woodland has won this in the past. That's about it.
Yeah, a lot of what, if you listen to the names closely, and he talked about that the average score is usually like the low teens-ish, give or take, 10 to 14 for the most part. It's an interesting golf course because you don't have to be a bomber here. You probably don't want to be a bomber here because it is Innisbrook at Copperhead. So people call it Copperhead. It's a par 71, 7,320 yards, which is quite long for this par 71 just in general, but also because it has five par threes instead of normally four, nine par fours instead of 10, and still four par fives. So that makes it challenging. The par threes are very tough. Three of them are 200 to 225. One's plus 225. Regardless, all five are very difficult. Like, you just want your guys getting par on most of these par threes. Like, I weighted par three, 2 to 225 in my model a little bit just because it is three of the five par threes. And it also kind of gives an idea of like longer iron play, which is going to be key on this golf course because similar to the Honda, similar to Bay Hill, similar even to the Players and some other Pete Dye type courses, a lot of it is positioning off the tee, less than driver stuff, because you want to be able to be in the fairway. I even saw some video from the Pro-Am on Monday. The rough is extremely long here at Copperhead. There's a lot of tree-lined fairways at Copperhead. So you want to be accurate off the tee if you can. And it's all about that approach game. Man, the greens aren't super large, so scrambling will come into play. A lot of what has worked very well the last few weeks, minus the weather, on these Florida courses will work here. Wind can come into play. It is a weird course. Like I said, there's a lot of trees involved, so some holes it might not seem like. It reminds me a lot of Spyglass in a way. Like lengthwise, more like Pebble, but like the kind of structure, because it's a lot of elevation changes. You have like a full uphill par five, so it seems like a short par five, but it's so uphill, it's just like treacherous. And then you just got some weird holes. Like most of the par fours are 4 to 450, but you're laying off driver, so you have longer approaches in. Most approach shots are 150 to 175, or basically 150 to 200 is what most of your approach shots are on this golf course. So good scrambling. Bermuda greens overseeded because it's early in the year. And you really want to be accurate off the tee, not so much driving distance. Approach game will be huge. If you want to wait putting, you can. It's very similar greens to what we've seen the last like 3 weeks on tour. I still don't go crazy on that because it's just, we talk about hot, you know, luck box putting. Like, literally, if you look at who's won recently, they putted phenomenally that week, but you could probably say that about any tournament. But Burns, I think, gained like 7 or 8 strokes putting last year. So that's something to look at. But for the most part, accurate off the tee, huge approach game, got to crush the par fives. Par threes are still, there's a lot, they're tricky as hell. And scramble your butt off. So it's a tough one. What stats are you looking at?
I think you hit it all there, man. I mean, it's just accuracy. You just got to be accurate and stay out of the shit. Yeah, the jungle.
That's what it is.
Place is surrounded by jungle.
Yeah, it's a weird course because it's like a beautiful course, but it's like, because the specs all resemble what we've seen, which we haven't seen any trees at. And this is just like laid and down. Because I remember watching this one a ton with Kokrak and Casey in recent years.
Yeah.
It's this is the one we thought we had our Kokrak win. I remember that. That was a rough one a couple years ago. But with that being said, let's just get right into it. And again, some of these names might not be golfing come Thursday morning, and hopefully they withdraw before Thursday morning, unlike Hideki Matsuyama. So I'm just gonna throw that one out there. 10K and above. JT at 11,000, Vic Hovland 10.8, Morikawa 10.7, Xander 10.3, DJ 10.2. Before I get your thoughts, because two of those guys didn't make the quote-unquote weekend, are you putting any weight to guys that missed the cut last week? Maybe getting more rest? No? Okay, good. No. I wasn't either, but I've already heard the narrative spewed. I think these guys are good enough golfers. I'm not too worried about that.
No, I mean, like last week is like just whatever. You know what I mean? Like it was just, I don't even think you should even take those stats, especially the strokes gain stats, and like even weight those at all. But I don't know if you can take them out or not, but I like, I mean, JT, obviously, he played his round on Saturday morning, the first round, or the second round, the full round that he played that day was fucking insane.
Yep.
Bogey free, three under. He was just working the ball, and it started to, it basically kind of came apart Sunday morning for him as far as just like making some bogeys and. But I think he's fine. I really like Vic Hovland. I think it's just at the point now where I'm just going to start playing him everywhere. It doesn't matter. Dude just plays good everywhere. I mean, where is he not besides Phoenix this year? I don't know where he finished last week, but second at Arnold Palmer, fourth Genesis. You know, I mean, it's just.
He was ninth T9 last week.
The guy is insane. Him and Cam Smith, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I'm going to fucking hammer the shit out of them in Augusta.
Yep. I think you're the one tweeted out that you're ready for 11K Cam Smith.
10K.
10K. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be highest price, but I do think he'll be like, you know, about where DJ is this week, around 10,200.
Well, he already had such great event history at the Masters, and now the way he's playing, it's just like, here we go. Yeah.
Which I hope, and please, DraftKings, do not make him like low nines, high eights.
So because everyone rosters him.
He'll be absolutely chalk. I mean, he'll be
good chalk.
He'll be Fitzpatrick of last week. We didn't even talk about Fitzpatrick missing the cut at 40% fucking owned.
Yeah, that one sucked too. He was 24% in my tournaments, so yeah, that was rough, very rough. Last week again, a fun week, but we have another fun one here. We have the Valspar. So you mentioned it. Were you done with your 10K range? Sorry,
one more Morikawa. Like you said, he missed the cut last week. I don't care. Second at Genesis, just been playing well. We know when he's playing well, he's hitting his irons well. So those are my two that I'm focusing on. But again, like usual, all five of these guys up here playable. Pick your poison.
Yeah, you can play pretty much any of these guys. I don't mind JT. Like, I tweeted it, and then people say I jinxed it. I'm like, dude, the weather's gonna. I literally said it could change at any moment. But the way he started out, when I did get to watch, I think on Sunday, he was striping it.
Dude, like it was.
He was hitting golf shots, and I know it was right off that Saturday that you mentioned where he was one of the best, literally the best golfer in the field pretty much that day.
Yeah.
He was just hitting golf shots that it was beautiful. Like, it was fun to watch. And then, you know, stuff happened, but I have no problem going back to him. I'm with you on Vic. T3 here last year. I mentioned T9 last week. It's funny. He's first, like JT's second in my model. Vic's first in my model. He basically crushes every stat except around the green. He's 141 in this field.
Yeah, he
and
sucks.
That's the only concern. It's like the old joke with Rory. It's like, if Rory could just putt, he's going to win every tournament. If Vic could just scramble, he's going to win every tournament.
Yeah.
Like, it's that crazy. So, if you want to go back to him, you can. Morikawa, phenomenal ball striker. Like you mentioned, he's struggling scrambling as well, but everything's pretty strong with him. It's funny. Opportunities gained in this field. JT's one, Hovland's four, Morikawa's third. Top four in the field, three of the four right there. And you want opportunities gained, because if they are getting bogeys on these tough conditions, JT's number one in bogey avoidance. Like, you look at his numbers, it's insane what he's got going on here. But I got no problem with any of those. I think the fun pivots will be Xander and DJ potentially, because I think most will stay with the top three for good reasons. Xander coming off the missed cut is playing well, but I think DJ is the fun one here. T48 last year, T6 back in 2019. We've been waiting for him to get going. You know, missed cut at the Genesis, but then T9 last week. And it's one of those where it looked like the old DJ would have just kind of thrown it in at one point in time. Like, he's like plus four. And then he just battles back and gets back to like 300. And then he like kind of lost a couple and get back. Like, there were so many times where you'd expect DJ to just be like, ah, screw it, I'm just going to get through the motions here. And he kept grinding and trying to find something maybe for Augusta. I don't know. But that T9 finish was promising. And he's going to come in super low on this week.
Well, he shot the fucking course record yesterday. 63.
I didn't see that part. Yeah. No wonder. Well, because I kind of gave up.
He held out for Eagle on the last hole for 63.
Because I told you I didn't get to watch much of it. And like, when I checked my phone early in the day, he was like plus three or four or something. And then I come back and I see he gets a T9 or something. What in the world?
Well, so, after that 63, I expect him to be more popular. But right now, I mean, like, according to the fan share buzz here on Fancy Labs, it's not nearly as close to Victor and Colin.
Yeah, I think Victor, Colin, and then you sprinkle in some JT. Those will be the dudes, and for good reasons, like we've said. So I'd say just play who you want up here, honestly, and you can differentiate, because there's going to be so many scrubby golfers down here we can play with and get goofy. Take the good players and differentiate with the bad players. That's my two cents. Some guys like to take the lower owned good players and take the chalky bad players, but I'll take my chances of a bad player having a good round over the other way around there. So you can go that route if you like. I don't mind any of these, and I'll probably still take one of the chalky guys when we recap, but I think DJ could be a fun leverage play. I mentioned it last week. I had a lot of shares of DJ. I might go back to that again in my 20 max this week. 9K, we got Usti at 99, Hatton at 98, Lowry 97. Okay, if anybody was ever going to get an ace on 17 in shitty weather, thank God it was Shane Lowry, because that after party when your brain is just melted would have been a good time. Sam Burns, 9,600, KC, 95, Brooks, 94, Answer, 93, Kokrak, 92, Fleetwood, 91, and then there he is, Fitzpatrick at 9,000. Fun, a lot of Euros in this range. So what do you got?
Yeah, start with, I mean, I think Louis course history is really good. I just worry about him actually starting the tournament. If he does, I mean, there's still a chance that he could not finish it. So Louis's okay. I'd rather go to like Hatton. Hatton has been playing really well. He did have, his only start here was a miscut, but he played well last week. Second at the API, fourth at the Desert Classic, which is in Dubai. But and then Lowry, of course, too. My dumbass swapped him out of a lineup like real late, and it was obviously did. It was not great, but Lowry playing solid golf and can handle the wind, and I think that's a big thing. You know, anytime you're in Florida, it's going to get windy most likely. Sam Burns, obviously the defending champion. He made the cut last week. He didn't have a great Sunday, but – or final round.
Yeah. he was in contention going into the final round.
He was, and, you know, he wasn't really on my radar last week, and so the thing that kind of worries me with him, especially, and maybe he gets it figured out. I'm sure he can before Thursday, but he was hitting his driver all over the fucking place yesterday. So hopefully he gets that figured out. Answer at 9,300. Another guy had a solid showing last week. Fifth here last year in 2018. He finished 16th. So got the good course history. And then last but not least is Fitzpatrick for me. His lone start here was in 2018. He didn't miss the cut. He's obviously coming off a very chalky miscut last week where he, I think he was at least 25% owned in most contests. In the contest I was in, he was 40% owned, which was the 222 single.
Which usually says a lot when the higher dollars have him yeah. chalkier. Yeah.
So, I mean, I would always fade somebody at that kind of ownership. The thing is, like, typically, if this was 3 or 4 years ago, I would have said, you know, hammer him this week because he's not going to be as high owned. But that's not been the trend more recently. Like, these guys coming off a miscut, people – still play them. In your lower dollar contest, it may not be as high, but I expect him to be high owned again at 9K. So, but I do like Fitzpatrick, and I mean, you know, I just feel like it was, I'm just not going to put a lot of stock into last week myself.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, Usti, I hope Usti plays. Like, I love playing him in tough tournaments, played him last week. It's always a roll of the dice. Does he show up? You know, 25th in my model, but that's because he really hasn't had a whole lot of rounds this year to get going. But the tournament history, like you mentioned, is just outstanding. T8, T2, T16, T7. Like, give me some Usti if he wants to play this week, and that'd be really, really nice. But I have no problem going to Hatton. You know, he missed cut here in 2019, but coming off a T13 and a T2, his last two appearances, plus playing great over in Europe. I like Hatton a lot at $9,800, hopefully coming in lower owned. Love Lowry, seventh in my model. He's first in par fours, 4 to 450, third in proximity, 175 to 200. Fifth in tee to green, fifth in opportunities gained. I'll take some Lowry there at seventh in my model. Answer's interesting to me. Like, I played him last week for the you know, the Pete Dye narrative. It worked out pretty, pretty good. When he's striking it well, he's one of the better iron players on tour. Fifth here last year, T16 in 2018. So if you want to go to some Abe, you can. Hopefully some people miss out on him because his overall stats have not looked good. He's still 64th in my model, but you can get some get him in there before people start to notice it would be good. And then Kokrak is on the radar. I'm not fully in on Jason Kokrak yet, but, you know, three straight made cuts on tour. He's won here before. He's made four straight cuts here, T13, T2, T8. He didn't win. Sorry, he finished second. T13, T2, T8 the last 3 years. At $9,200, he could be interesting. He's one of those guys that can bomb it very accurately with the driver, and that helps him out at these golf courses. So Kokrak is a guy that could be a low-owned play as well. But lots of options here. Sorry, Brooksy. Probably not going to go that route this week. 8K. Got Jason Day at 89, Bubba at 88, Noren 87, Varner 86, Woodland 85, Keegan 84, Webb 83, Kiz 82, Knox 81, Tringali 8,000. What do you like in the 8K range?
Start with Noren. Finished 21st here last year and was fifth at the Honda most recently. I don't know. I can't remember if he made the cut last week or not. Woodland, I know he missed. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say with Noren, he finished T26 last week.
Yeah, so he did make the cut. Woodland's another guy. His course history is not good at all. It's three straight missed cuts, but two straight top fives before last week. I feel like he's starting to get it figured out at $8,500. I'd rather have him versus Keegan, which. whatever. And then Harold Varner the third. I mean, both of those guys, like, I don't know how they're priced so high, but I mean, Keegan, I can see HV3. I just don't know about that. Russell Knox at 8,100. Dude has just been ball striking recently. Yep. Obviously had the really solid finish last week. Hasn't missed a cut since the American Express back in January. His course history is really solid too. One missed cut since 2014. He's played it every year. And, I mean, not great finishes necessarily, but, I mean, getting inside the top 25 the last 3 years is pretty solid for Russell, and that's it.
Yeah, it's a fun range because Bradley's fourth in my model and Knox is third, both rating out great. I like them both this week. I'm just afraid Bradley's going to be popular finally, which sucks. I loved him last week because he rated out well and the Pete Dye narrative, which I read off that list of like 10. I think most of them all made the cut last week, and a lot of them finished rather high. Like Kisner, I'm a Kisner answer, Casey, Bradley for sure, those four. I think Harmon kind of tanked on the weekend. Like there's a list of them, but Knox and Bradley I'm in on for sure. Just Bradley, if he's chalky, it really deters things. But you talk about like tournament history and whatnot. Bradley second here last year, missed cut T31, T58. So three of the last four cuts, and then fifth last week, 11th the week before. That's pretty good form there from Keegs. So I got no problem going there. You mentioned Knox, four straight made cuts, including the sixth last weekend. So I like both of them. He's made four or five cuts here, three in a row, T21 last year, T24, T16 the last 3 years. So two guys that are coming in really good form. I like the Noren call. I always like Noren because if it's a tougher kind of conditions on a birdie fest, it feels like he's kind of in range. He's 22nd in my model, T21 here last year, which is pretty promising. He comes in low owned, so that'll be nice. Only other two I had on the board is Tringali. I always get sucked into Tringali somehow. He's 41st in my model, thank God, because usually he rates like second, and it makes me really have to like force it. But third here last year after missing three straight cuts at this event, that sounds like a Tringali thing to do. And then he's coming off two missed cuts and then a 13th of the Genesis. So not sure how all in I'll be, but he'll be super low owned with potential to play very well at this course. And then last but not least is Bubba. He's 35th in my model. He's coming off a rather good week last week. It was a surprising T68, but a lot of that was like on the final round, it feels like, because he was playing pretty well heading into that cluster F that took place.
Well, him and JT were the only two guys to go bogey free on Saturday.
Yeah, he was like looking
in the
good
third in the second round,
and then it just imploded. But yeah, he's T13 typical. Here last year, T4 the year before. If you just want to do the simple strokes gained over the last 5 years at this golf tournament, he rates out in like the top 10, which is surprising because he's only played three of the 5 years, and most of those people have played 5 years. So he plays really, really well at this golf course, surprisingly, and I'm not sure how much his ownership will play in because it's not a quote-unquote Bubba course. So keep him in mind at $8,800 if you feel so inclined. All right, 75 to 79. You got Hadwin, Bez, Hughes, Wiesberger, Wise, Stroman, Munoz, Harmon, Vegas, Gim, Molly. Who you got?
Not a huge fan of this range, but I do have one guy, which I absolutely love. It's not Adam Hadwin, but I think he's playable. Obviously, past winner here. And he's played okay enough this year to go back. He does have two straight missed cuts at this golf course. The guy that I love is at $7,500.
You're going to say it again, aren't you?
Yeah, Francisco Molinari.
Yeah, you're going to keep rolling that train.
So it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I played him last week, so I've been following. It's just a matter of time, I think, at this point. It's like kind of like Berger was, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's Berger, but I'm saying that, like, I mean, this guy's won a major. He did win a major, didn't he?
No, he fell apart in 2019 at the Masters. Oh no, did he win the British Open?
Yeah, he won the British Open.
Yeah, no, it was the same year. Never mind. Yeah, that was the summer of Molly.
Yeah,
he was going full crazy at this.
And then whatever happened to him. $7,500 this week. I love Franny. And then Vegas at $7,500 as well. You know, his course history is okay. 48th last year, two missed cuts before that, but they were years prior. And has made four consecutive cuts now, so I think he's fine.
Seabez at 79, 23rd in my Molly, 6th in scrambling, 6th in bogey avoidance in this field. Everything else is like top 50 or better. So, you know, you could see something possibly go wrong, but he looks like he can kind of grind his ass to find the weekend, which would be really nice. He's the first time playing this event, but T20 at the Arnold Palmer, T25 at the Honda. I'll take that. That's $7,900 right now. Sebastian Munoz, 9th in my model, 5th off the tee, 3rd tee to green, 8th ops gained. Really good in the proximities we're looking for from 150 to 200. And when you look at this event with Munoz, he missed cut in 2019. It's the only time he's played here. But current form, T33, T26, last 2 weeks, T21 at Genesis, T23rd at Phoenix. So he's playing really good golf as well at 7,600. He's one of those guys that can put some DK points up for you.
Is he still in the field?
Oh, did he? See, they have not updated any of that on Fantasy National yet. I know there's like so many guys, but I think you're right. He did bounce out.
Yeah, I think he's out.
Because Casey's still on this list. I knew not to check him off. But all right, I just unstarred him on Fantasy National. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Jonathan Vegas, 7,500. I'm with you on that. He was doing pretty good for us last week for a while there. And then, 17 happened. I watched that one actually live and just like wanted to cry because he was like, it was one of those where he's two shots off the lead, he's on the first page of the leaderboard to miss cut. Just like, oh boy. So yeah, I'll go back to that trade.
Which wasn't as bad as what's his name's miss cut?
Scott Piercy.
Yes.
Let all the plus twos back into the world.
Oh my goodness. Did you hear the story about him afterwards?
No, I can only imagine. Like, there were so many jokes.
Apparently, he goes into the scoring tent for like a minute max. I guess, you know, obviously signs his scorecard, comes back out and like flips a fucking chair over and leaves.
That sounds about right for Scott Piercy. That sounds literally, no golf pun intended, par for the course for Scott Piercy. Like, really does. No surprise there.
Yeah.
But he seems like a douchebag. 7K to 74. What do you got here?
Nick Taylor, 7,300. He has played here quite a bit. Missed cut, 24th, missed cut, 62nd, missed cut, 24th. I mean, not necessarily what you want, but it is what it is. Played well at the API, played well at the Honda. Schwab at 7,300 has never played here. He played over in Puerto Rico a couple weeks ago, finished 7th. Also finished 7th at the Honda Classic, so playing some solid golf. Kazire at $7,200. He's made the cut here 3 or 4 years. The last 2 years, he's finished 60th. His best finish was in 2016, where he finished 33rd. So, I mean, not necessarily great, but again, we're getting down here in the weeds a little bit. And Joel Dahman at $7,100. I was kind of surprised to see his price so low. You know, he's played here one time, 2019, finished 30th. Had a solid showing last week. I mean, obviously was in that group with Hovland and Berger. And they were one of the last few groups out there, so was playing solid. And he, you know, he's got some decent finishes this year. His highlight was, you know, basically 6th at the AT&T, but hasn't played a whole heck of a lot on the Florida swing yet, except for the Players. And then Griot at 7,000. I think he's fine. I mean, it's very tilting to play Griot, but you know, he's got two straight missed cuts at this tournament. You know, but you just never know with him. So good luck.
Yeah, this is a tough range for me because I have some guys that rate out really well that makes me want to swallow my tongue. But Denny McCarthy, he rates out 51st. But I just wanted to mention him because if you want to just go tournament history approach here, T39, T9 the last 2 years. And coming to this event, he's made three straight cuts, 60th last week, 61st at Arnold Palmer, 30th at Honda. So if you're looking for a guy to maybe just make it to the weekend, McCarthy could be your dude. I do have Nick Taylor. Check out, he's 12th in my model, 4th in scrambling, 2nd in bogey avoidance. I've been playing him a lot lately, actually, especially when he's like 6,600. But 73, he's played well here and coming in decent form, so I'm with you on that. I have Matthias Schwab checked off as well. Marty Party Laird is 6th in my model. He's 1st in good drives in this field, 6th in tee to green, 13th in approach. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying to have Laird rating out like that, but here we are. Here we are. He's missed 4 straight cuts at this tournament. 4 straight. Lost 10 strokes over those 4 missed cuts. So pick your poison.
That's what I like to call a GPP player right there.
Yeah, because he came and missed cut last week, but then 52nd at Palmer, 32nd at Genesis, 14th at Phoenix. So he's playing decent golf. What do you got? He rates out really well. Pick your poison. Kazire, 10th on my model. He's actually playing pretty decent golf right now, and he's made three or four cuts here and coming in with a 22nd last week, 32nd at Palmer, 10th at the Phoenix Open. So Kazire at 72 is very intriguing. I mentioned Jill Dahman. I agree with you on that one. And then last but not least is Sam Ryder, not like crushing the stat models. He's 52nd, but he's making cut after cut after cut right now. So at and he's got the he's a massive DK score, because if you watch him hole by hole, you'll have a heart attack. But he finds ways to get enough birdies to find weekends. So enjoy it. 6K range, what you like him?
Start with Flat Bill Pat Perez, man. Yep. Check. Solid week last week. Finished fourth. He's made the cut four straight times at this tournament. You know, last year was 29th. Now he had a long absence, but seems to like the place okay, and has just been playing solid golf all while chewing tobacco. Neesmith finished 21st here last year. I think he's playable at 68. Whaley's another guy at 66 who played here last year, played well, finished 29th. His current form isn't necessarily what you'd like, but you know we're way down the weeds at this point. Let me see here. Brim at 6,300. This dude just won the Puerto Rico Open. He did miss the cut here last year, but I think did he make the cut last week?
Brim, let me check. What's his price again? 64 or something like that?
63.
Brim. No, he missed the cut.
There you go. That's all I got in this range. I mean, it's like this is super sketch territory down here.
Super sketch, but yeah. We might be there if you want to take some of these big dogs up.
The other thing is like you're probably going to have some more with – you might have another withdrawal or two. One guy to mention, Happy Barnright, apparently he –
he's playing well.
Like only – he one-putted his first seven greens yesterday in the Monday qualifier.
the only way Happy can do it. Like yeah, he must feel like he's in Puerto Rico right now.
Just – take a little toke off your vape for him.
Yeah, just living the dream. I got Flat Bill as well. He's 34th on my model. Fourth in par five scoring in this field, which is very, very critical, as we mentioned. So keep that one in mind with the Flat Bill at 69. Vaughn Taylor at 67 ranks 13th on my model. He's sixth in proximity that we're looking for, 17th around the green, 21st in approach. And when you look at the past tournament here, T6 last year, T18 the year before for Vaughn Taylor, which is quite impressive. And then T7 at Puerto Rico, T55 at Honda, those last two events he played in. So Vaughn Taylor is an intriguing one at 67. Brian Stewart's got great course history and decent form coming in. Stenson's got great course history if you want to buy it. But Danny Lee at 66 is a guy that can get hot for the DK scoring at 65 or 66. So I'll have some of him as well. Kramer Hitchcock at 65, I think, is a phenomenal GPP play. 21st in my model, good approach game, very polarizing at times because he can just like go off the reservation on your roster. But in this field, T57 last year, T46 the year before, and recent tournaments, 42nd last week, missed cut at the Honda, the Genesis, 53rd at Phoenix. I think he's a fun GPP play at 6,500. There's a few other guys you can make arguments for. Like Jimmy Walker played really well last week, and surprisingly, and he's played well here, but not a whole lot I'm in love with. I got some guys checked off, but it's like in case of emergency break glass guys, I'd rather not play down there if I don't have to. All right, let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, who you got?
I'm just going to say Hovland.
Since you took Hovland, I will take DJ to be different. I will go DJ. 9K range.
Sorry, I was trying to look up something on Hickok there. Hatton.
I like that. I'll go Lowry. I like both those guys quite a bit. I like Usti the best, but I don't think he's going to golf. I'd be shocked if he plays. 8K range.
Knox.
I'm going to go with Bubba. Give me Bubba at 88. 75 to 79.
Molly.
I'll go Bezenhout. 7K to 74.
Schwab.
I'll go with Joel Dahman. Don't really like that range much. 6K.
Pepperez.
Vaughn Taylor for me will be my dude. All right, if you're starting a cash lineup, three dudes that you're starting out your cash lineup with.
I would just withdraw. Cash. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough week for cash. I mean, I think Russell Knox is probably cash worthy. Vegas is as close as Vegas will ever be to being cash worthy. Like Answer. Yeah, I mean, it's rough trying to get like some of those guys. Like, cause, I mean, obviously you want to try to go balanced mostly anyway. So, I mean, maybe Hadwin.
Yeah, it's
I don't like it.
I go Bubba, Knox, and Bez. That's where I'd be. Don't love it either, but just remember Keegan, this is where he went full Keegan, by the way. This is where the phrase came from, this golf tournament. GPP, though, who are you starting out with?
Hovland, Fitzpatrick, Molinari.
I'll go with DJ, with Tyrell Hatton, and Vaughn Taylor. So have some fun with that, boys and girls. All right, the time everyone's been waiting for, our picks of the week. Go to DK Sportsbook and check out the fun stuff there because it's so much better than everything else. And no, we don't get paid for this. But who do you have winning this thing?
You start. I failed and did not get it pulled up.
I think Bubba's odds at 55 is interesting if you want to like T10 him at +5 because he's played really, really well here. So like that's fun. Longer shots, you don't have a ton of long shots winning, but this could be the week with so many kind of down guys playing here. You can maybe like Alonta, we didn't even talk about him. He can be sneaky good in this one. Great par 5 score. He's at +110. He could be fun, but if you want some lower odds, I think Hatton at 25 has my attention. Answer at 35 would be pretty nice too.
I would parlay Victor Hovland with the University of Kentucky to win the national championship.
We're that big on Kentucky, huh?
You know where I live.
I know.
Fantastic. I know. Hatton at 25, Fitzpatrick at 25, not terrible. Lowry at 30. Those guys, I think, have a legitimate chance to win this golf tournament. Fleetwood, man, I mean, we didn't talk about him either, and he's 55, flashed some form last week with the first round lead. Not terrible there. And then Russell Knox at 70.
Yeah, Knox is interesting at 70. Like, if you want to have some fun here, pull up the old T20 odds here. Now we could have some fun. You can get Knox T20 at +275. I think that's got some life to it. Where's my boy? Where's he? He's going to be farther down here. Oh, let's keep scrolling. I'm looking for DK scoring compared to price, and it ain't showing up here. Let's just do the old cheat code here. Vaughn Taylor, where'd you go? There's three Taylors in the field. Vaughn Taylor's +900 at T20. I like that one. I know I'm kind of overly obsessed with him, but that his rates out so well, back-to-back T16 or better. So give me a chance, Vaughn. All right, final thoughts. Valspar, we have WGC match play next week. So that's another shit show. So
it's fun golf to watch, though, at least for a few days.
Match play is my favorite golf. Yeah, I absolutely love match golf. Or match play golf.
The Hovland Kentucky to win the national championship parlay is 99-1.
Ooh, not bad, not bad.
Just saying. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna go pretty light this week. Obviously, got plenty of sweats with NCAA stuff and that kind of thing. So it's a fun tournament, but I will be distracted myself. So I don't know how much of it I'm actually gonna watch.
Yeah, tough week for golf. Like, they have that long tournament, so the field's going to kind of dwindle. Plus, you throw in the NCAA tournament starting up this week. Yeah. It's like, we'll see what happens. I'm still going to watch, but I don't know how much.
I mean, I'll watch it.
I know you'll watch.
Thursday morning, Friday morning, yeah. And then about noon when the first game tips off, I'm going to probably not watch it anymore. So
yeah, so we'll see what happens. But again, if you have any questions, Discord, Fantasy Degens Discord, hit us up over there. Hit us up on Twitter. At DFS Golf Gods, at BDN Trick, and we'll get your questions answered there. And we will be back with you guys next week. We'll see what the schedule looks like based on announcing the brackets and when DK gets their stuff together. But it might be another Tuesday show. Throwing it out there. Just already thinking ahead on that one, folks.
Well, they won't even come out with the brackets until
Monday. Usually it's Monday.
Like Monday evening.
Monday evenings when the brackets come out that night. So it'll probably be a Tuesday show, folks. Just throwing that out there. And then they tee off on Wednesday, don't they?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I would probably be able to do it like later on. We'll talk about it. But
we'll play it by ear. We'll see. We'll do off the air stuff. We'll take care of the behind the scenes. But any questions? Let us know. We'll take care of you and fun golf because we're only a few weeks away from the Masters.
Yes, sir.
Which is going to be really awesome. So yes. Good luck, everybody. This was your Valspar Championship preview. Catch you guys later.